Thank you, Blessing Zulu and Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, December 10th, 2014. And as usual, we'd like to thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Sithandekile Mhlanga.
Here are our top stories this evening.
President Robert Mugabe today picked Justice Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa and Career Ambassador Phelekezela Mphoko as his two deputies in ZANU-PF, which automatically makes them vice presidents of Zimbabwe.
They are two vice presidents from ZANU. Side is Emmerson Mnangagwa.
But women's activists bemoan the absence of a woman in the country's presidium, saying this is a major regression in terms of women empowerment in Zimbabwe.
The development is really sad for the women's movement in Zimbabwe and for the case of women empowerment generally in our country.
And Zimbabwe joins the rest of the world in marking International Human Rights Day.
President Mugabe today picked Justice Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa and Career Ambassador Phelekezela Mphoko as his two deputies in ZANU-PF, which automatically makes them vice presidents of Zimbabwe. The elevation of Mnangagwa was widely expected, as is seen as Mr. Mugabe's way of readying him to take over from him when he leaves office. Mr. Mugabe also announced a new Politburo lineup featuring local government minister Ignatius Chombo as secretary for administration, while Simon Kayamoyo, who was also expected to be appointed deputy vice president, was named the party secretary for information.
They are two vice presidents. From ZANU side is Emmerson Mnangagwa.
Yes, 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 yes.
Right, I thank you. We say congratulations to him. Congratulations to him. From the former ZANU side, we get a report, Mphoko.
Unexpected, Mr. Mugabe scraped the post of chairman that Kayamoyo held. Information Minister Jonathan Moyo is the new Secretary for Science and Technology, and Minister Obet Mpofu was given the Secretary for Finance.
The President at the top, two Vice Presidents, that's what we have been having. And over time we did establish the Chairman, then the Secretary for Administration, and then the other heads of departments. We are reducing that top heaviness. We will be having the President, two Vice Presidents. The two Vice Presidents have no real big function, except that they are my deputies. I can give them work to do. Previously.
Opam Chinguri, who played a major role in the destruction of former Vice President Joyce Mujuru, was given the Transport and Social Welfare Party portfolio. First Lady Grace Mugabe leads the Women Affairs portfolio. President Mugabe said his two deputies will be sworn in together with the new cabinet ministers either tomorrow or Friday. For perspective, reporter Ntungameli Nkomo reached a political lecturer at England's Huddersfield University, Nkululeko Sibanda.
I think that for me, it indicates a certain level of, in my view, inability on the part of the president to understand the politics of succession, perhaps because he's never really thought about it. To surround himself with two guys, one of whom is well-known and very popular, and the other is a shadowy figure, while at the same time one of the popular of the two guys is expected to or is rumored to be vying for his position. He's certainly, in my view, not a feasible position unless he wants to make himself a regent president or what you'd call a dark horse. I think it is not the lineup is not helpful for him as he goes forward if he wants to continue being the leader of the party and necessarily the government. But may also turn out to be a bad omen for Mnangagwa's hopes to lead the country in the future and to do so with a sizable a level of support or respect within the country, given that he has now allowed himself to occupy the position which has just been ridiculed in terms of how the outgoing vice president has been handled and has been kicked out of that position. That kind of a DQ now remains with the position which Mnangagwa takes. So I think that there's a double-edged sword here, and I don't think that the president has angled this as a Machiavellian politician would do.
Do you see anything preventing Mr. Mnangagwa from being Zimbabwe's next president?
Certainly, I think that his worst enemy now is the fact that he's been appointed vice president to a long-time leader, which means that he is unable to assert himself over and above beyond the limitations of Mugabe's own leadership styles, and that he's being appointed to a position which, as I say, has been diminished by the manner in which the last vice president has been handled. I do see, however, a very strong opportunity for Mnangagwa should the president leave office involuntarily and suddenly.
That was political analyst Nkululeko Sibanda on the line with reporter Ntungameli Nkomo from England.
Women's activist Gladys Tlachawayo says Mr. Mugabe's appointments undid the progress Zimbabwe has made in empowering women.
The development is really sad for the women's movement in Zimbabwe and for the case of women empowerment generally in our country, because we would have thought that since we had a vice president who was a woman, he was also going to replace that vice president with another woman. But this is not what we are seeing, and it's very sad. This is a retrogressive development, a regression in terms of women's leadership overall in our nation. And we must also contextualize it within the region itself. Zimbabwe is the chairperson of SADC, and one would have thought that as the chairperson of SADC, he was supposed to be exemplary in terms of promoting women's leadership, but this is not what we are seeing, and it's sad.
For years, Zimbabwe was seen as the beacon of women's empowerment, looking at, you know, the time that Mrs. Mjuru, you know, rose to become the vice president. And then what has happened in the past few months, in particular, you know, when First Lady Grace Mugabe came onto the scene and started attacking Vice President Joyce Mjuru, what has this done to the women's movement in terms of the emancipation of women, not only in Zimbabwe, but in the region, in your opinion?
Certainly, like I said, Zimbabwe is the current chairperson, and one would have thought that they are supposed to be exemplary when it comes to some of these issues. But evidently, it looks like President Mugabe was more worried about going after those people who were perceived to be anti-Mugabe within ZANU-PF. It looks like this is just retributive rather than actually ensuring that competent people are part of this Politburo and are part of the presidium. So this is sad. And certainly it's a very dark day, a black day in terms of women's empowerment in the region and in Zimbabwe.
What would be, you know, your word of advice to women in ZANU-PF regarding, you know, this issue of women and leadership?
I think my advice to my sisters in ZANU-PF is that we should not pursue a zero-sum game. If Opam Chinguri, being just the immediate past chairperson of the Women's League and also the gender minister, she was supposed to ensure that was supposed to be part of a message that even as they were campaigning for Miss Mjuru to be ousted, they were supposed to ensure that a woman was going to take over. But obviously, they didn't do a lot of scenario planning. They didn't do a lot of strategic thinking. And as a result, they've actually contributed to this very sad development. It's really unfortunate. We would have expected much more from the women's movement in ZANU-PF. Instead of them being just a movement that is there to prop up men and to give support to men, they must be actually strategically thinking about how they can position themselves to be also part of the power echelons within ZANU-PF.
That was women rights activist Gladys Tlachawayo on the line with Studio 7 Sandra Nyaira.
For more than a decade now, divisions have been growing in President Robert Mugabe's ZANU-PF, with officials lining behind factions allegedly led by Vice President Joyce Mujuru and Justice Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa, as the two tussled for vantage positions in time to succeed an aging Mugabe. Today, it is Mr. Mnangagwa's day. In this Looking Back feature, correspondent Thomas Chiripasi tries to unpack for us who Mnangagwa really is.
Known in the political circles as Ngwena or Crocodile, Emmerson Mnangagwa has been in politics since he was a teenager, fighting in the trenches for Zimbabwe's liberation from white colonial rule. Mnangagwa has long been touted as Mr. Mugabe's heir apparent, but he was outwitted by an influential General Mujuru during the 2004 Cholocho Declaration, in which he was charged for planning to topple Mr. Mugabe, who didn't give him the sack but gave him the lowly Ministry of Rural Housing and Social Amenities as punishment. He had previously held the portfolios of State Security, Defense and Justice Affairs. Born in the Midlands town of Zishavane in 1949, Mnangagwa received military training in China in 1963 before obtaining a law degree from a Zambian university in 1974. He became active in national politics when he was a member of the Zimbabwe African People's Union, or ZAPU, before ZANU was formed in 1963. Mnangagwa was Mr. Mugabe's aide during Zimbabwe's War of Liberation and became the Minister of State Security when Zimbabwe attained its independence in 1980. Since 1980, Mr. Mnangagwa has held several positions in ZANU-PF, and ordinary Zimbabweans and political analysts say Mnangagwa is seen as President Mugabe's blue-eyed boy despite his role in the Cholocho Declaration that sought to change the ZANU-PF top leadership. Others say Mnangagwa is feared by many Zimbabweans because of his involvement in Gukurahundi massacres instituted by the North Korean-trained 5th Brigade, left an estimated 20,000 civilians dead in the Midlands and Matabeleland regions, according to the Catholic Commission for Peace and Justice. At the time, Mnangagwa was the State Security Minister. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Some Zimbabweans have expressed shock at the appointment of Phelekezela Mphoko as one of President Mugabe's deputies. Thomas Chiripasi went into the streets of Harare to get the views of the people following Mr. Mugabe's surprise appointment.
Very few Zimbabweans know much about Mr. Mphoko, a career diplomat whose last posting was South Africa. Now that he has been named one of the country's two vice presidents, many are asking who he really is. Former Harare City Councillor Worship Dumba is one of the people surprised by Mphoko's appointment.
I only started knowing about him, I think about 2-3 weeks ago. I definitely know nothing about him except that I'm hearing that he was an ambassador to South Africa.
But Jenesani Ntungagwa, a Harare-based researcher with the Revolutionary Research Institute of Zimbabwe, says Mphoko was instrumental in the formation of the Zimbabwe People's Revolutionary Army, or ZIPRA. He adds that as a former guerrilla, it was expected that his background is not in the public domain.
You see, because guerrillas by nature, they don't expose their tendencies, they don't expose their intentions. There is a major difference between the groups of the people of the likes of Report Mphoko, the likes of Brigadier Mdiniri, the likes of Dumiso Dabengwa, the likes of earlier groups, for instance, people like John Maluzondlovu. Those are groups that are much older now, if you look at it. You see, they are much older in terms of age. They are also much older in terms of exposure. When those people were active as much younger cadres, the revolutionary movement had a different structure. The problems they faced, actually, they knew each other. All those groups, they knew each other. If you come to the groups of the 70s, that's a multitude now, you see. So at this stage, we are just waiting. But what we also see is a spirit of excitement that there is a visibility of ex-ZAPU somewhere.
Ntungagwa said Mphoko fought in the 1970s Liberation War alongside key national figures like former Home Affairs Minister and ZAPU President Dumiso Dabengwa.
To describe him, well, that's a hard group. A hard in terms of ideology. Those are old guerrillas, you see. It's a group with a high security element. The next person must be watched closely. But again, there are Zimbabweans. That's one other interesting thing. So these are the dynamics that we see.
Political analyst Blessing Vava says the fact that Mpoko served as a diplomat means he is one of Mr. Mugabe's loyalists.
I don't know much about him, but safe to say that usually people that are appointed by President Mugabe, especially to be ambassadors in countries like South Africa, countries like America, countries like Britain, they are very, very important people who are very closer to the president. So in a way,
Vava said Simon Kayamoyo could have easily become vice president ahead of Mpoko had he not aligned himself with former Vice President Joyce Mujuru, who was accused of plotting to assassinate Mr. Mugabe, a charge that Mrs. Mujuru denies.
SK Moyo, being a front runner towards the beginning of the year and to the previous years, I think he missed it somehow by associating himself with the faction alleged to be led by the former Vice President Joyce Mujuru. But also you must understand that in the ZAPU or the ZIPRA hierarchy, SK Moyo is not anywhere in the top five of that setup.
Mpoko came onto the political scene last year when he threw his hat into the ring to contest for the deputy president's position, which was left vacant following the death of John Landa Nkomo early last year. He made it clear he would challenge Simon Kayamoyo, then the party's chairman, for the position, claiming he was much senior than most surviving ZAPU members and therefore deserved the post. A trained agriculturalist, Mpoko is also a former military commander and was in charge of ZIPRA's logistics during the liberation struggle. He was ZAPU's representative in Mozambique just before independence in 1980, working during the time with top African National Congress leaders. He has also served as Zimbabwe's ambassador to Botswana and Russia before moving to South Africa, where his mission ended in 2011. Mpoko was also part of the five-man ZIPRA command that was a joint operation between ZANLA and ZIPRA. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Thanks, Thomas. Even though many people may not know Pelegezela report Mpoko, there are some who know him. One such person is former ZIPRA ex-combatant retired Brigadier General Abel Mazinyane. He spoke with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube.
I first met Mr. Mpoko, I think, in 1969. He was already chief of logistics of ZIPRA. I worked under him as my commander, as a member of the high command of ZIPRA, up to the time I was also promoted to the high command of ZIPRA. And he was my mentor in the struggle. He's the man who really taught me the ropes of the armed struggle. So he's a very straightforward person. And I hope his appointment really will benefit Zimbabwe as a country. I think he's a straightforward person. So I think he's an accomplished diplomat to me.
Tell us a bit about your stint with him in Mozambique.
No, in Mozambique, we went there as a joint. There was a joint command, which was to command the Zipras and then Mozambique. Bob was part of that command as chief of logistics. And I went with him there to start operations from Mozambique. And they built that Zipra from scratch until it was operationally. And they scored some certain victories, actually, that year. Brought about the independence of our country.
And we are also informed that he was part of the Luthuli detachment. Tell us a bit about it too.
Yeah, well, about that, I'll say, because it's something before my time. But to emphasize that Mpoko was part of the MKM Congress's ZIPRA operations of Wange in 1967, and he was the commander of logistics for those operations. So he is the person who operated the late former Minister of Defence of South Africa, who was the commander of MK. Chris Hani was part of that command.
That was retired Brigadier General Abel Mazinyane speaking with Studio 7 from Bulawayo. Now we take a look at regional and international news.
A South African judge has granted prosecutors an appeal of the culpable homicide verdict against athlete Oscar Pistorius, clearing them to seek a more serious matter conviction in the country's Supreme Court.
The United Nations Refugee Agency says the world needs to better focus on responding to the hundreds of thousands of people making risky sea journeys in search of asylum or migration.
And former Polish president says Poland let the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency run a secret prison on its territory, but he says Polish officials did not authorize harsh treatment or torture of the suspected terrorists at the site.
A former Vice President Joyce Mujuru says President Robert Mugabe did not give her a chance to explain herself over allegations that she wanted to topple him. In an exclusive interview with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu, Mrs. Mujuru says she sought an audience with the president, who appeared to understand what she was talking about, only to be surprised by Mr. Mugabe's public outburst on these allegations. She further says the ruling party has been seriously infiltrated by newcomers whose agenda is to take control of the party ahead of the 2018 general elections. Mrs. Mujuru tells Blessing Zulu that despite her being persecuted by her own party, she has strong links with the Zimbabwe Defense Forces chiefs.
Mind you, I'm a Christian, a true Christian. I don't believe in killing. I don't believe in hating. I don't believe in making somebody suffer. It's politicking. These are some of the things that were started towards Congress. We were, some of us, especially myself, was not given a chance to explain, even to discuss some of these things. Few times I've been talking about them, telling people that I have no capacity. I am not in a position to organize anybody to do such harm to anyone. Mind you, I've been a patron of the African Christian Council of Zimbabwe, Churches of Zimbabwe, which has over 700 churches. These are African-formed churches. I'm sure you are quite familiar with them. And for such a person to be a patron to such a humongous organization, you forget about them and you go back and you start even practicing witchcraft. You start even thinking about killing somebody, even to assassinate a sitting president of state. It's unheard of. It's uncalled for. For what purpose? Just me, a poor widow. I can't do that. I'm surprised. And I even spoke about infiltration that has, come in our party. I spoke about this in February, if not March, early this year when I went to address women in Chinoy. But nobody took time to ask me what I had discovered or what I had in mind or what I had seen. These are the things that I wanted us to discuss then about the infiltration that has, come in our party. But it does not end, my friend, with discharging or dismissing Vice President Mujuru and these other chairmen of provinces, because those people who are doing it still remain in that faction that has remained with the president. They are not there to, do anything good to see the future of this party, moving forward. I'm not so sure. Anyway, we'll wait to see.
When you say the party has been infiltrated, Dr. Mujuru, can you name names?
I'm not good at dropping names. It's something that we can discuss in-house, which we never discussed.
But since these allegations started to come out, did you have a chance to talk to Mr. Mugabe about them?
I spoke to the president 3 times on different occasions.
And what was his response?
He was telling me that he was not aware of what was happening, but to my surprise, after having spoken to him the second time, he then addressed the youths that were bused to our headquarters. And that's the first time I heard him hinting about, him being my head of party, who had an understanding of what was going on. His comments that day really left me with a feeling that he had some idea of what was going on. And that's when I started thinking, I'm sure I am dealing with a situation which is beyond my control.
And lastly, but an uncomfortable question, of course, there's been speculation that maybe the passing on of General Mujuru might also be the reason why you seem to be persecuted by some members in the party. Are you having the same feelings?
You know, speculations can be dangerous. So if we are to deal or to work with speculations, sometimes we might make very immense mistakes. So let's not work with speculations. Let's work with things that are there. It's better that way.
We saw you greeting the generals over the weekend. What is your relationship like with the securocrats?
Mind you, these are comrades in arms. Some of them, I shared with them the, you know, the same trenches. The likes of, though they were in their different camps, the likes of Chiwenga, the likes of Shiri, Zimondi. Unfortunately, my other colleague, Sibanda, was with the Zipra. But we were the same comrades. We belonged to the same cause. And I have no problem with them. We belong to the same background. It's only the assignments that we now have which are different.
That was former Vice President Joyce Mujuru speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu in an exclusive interview.
Meanwhile, Zimbabwe today joined the rest of the world in commemorating the Human Rights Day through marches organized by the Zimbabwe Human Rights Commission in the second city of Bulawayo. The commission was joined by non-governmental organization under the theme Human Rights 36. United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon said in a statement that he was calling on states to honor their obligations to protect human rights every day of the year. The Zimbabwe Human Rights Association Director Oke Machisa says this year they felt honored after they were joined by Deputy Chief Justice Luke Malaba, who was the guest of honor. He tells reporter Jonga Kantemiri that they feel the government must do something to fight human rights abuses that usually occur during election campaign periods.
In Zimbabwe, we have actually done our commemorations in Bulawayo together with the Zimbabwe Human Rights Commission. Actually, this is the day that has been spearheaded by the Zimbabwe Human Rights Commission in partnership with civil society and other non-governmental organizations, including some the government departments. It is a commemoration that has been done since the inception of Zimbabwe Human Rights Commission. If I remember very well, the first commemorations that were done were last year, and this year they decided to do it in Bulawayo. And I can confirm that thousands and thousands of people came to the streets of Bulawayo to march, showing solidarity, showing happiness that the Universal Declaration on Human Rights is still in existence, and that we need our government to ensure that the citizens of Zimbabwe have enjoyed their rights.
The Zimbabwe government is accused of not respecting human rights. What role did it play today?
The most important thing that we should acknowledge is that it is a government that should be protecting its own people from all these abuses. And the structures of government that include the security sector should ensure that the people of Zimbabwe have been protected from those that abuse human rights. So today's activity was mainly to ensure that we are saying 365 days as a theme of this year, human rights should be protected and should be promoted. And we should see that culminating in the peace and unity of the people of Zimbabwe.
That was Zimbabwe Human Rights Association Director Oke Machisa in Bulawayo with reporter Jonga Kantemiri.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host will discuss with experts and you, the listeners, about World AIDS Day.
To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you back from our studio.
Now to recap today's top stories.
President Mugabe today picked Justice Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa and Kerry Ambassador Phelekezela Mpoko as his two deputies in ZANU-PF.
But women's activists bemoan the absence of a woman in the country's presidium.
That's our broadcast this evening.
Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Chris Gande in Washington. Good night, Zimbabwe.
And I'm Sithandekile Mhlanga, also wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.